A Modern Utopia by H.G. Wells. Chapter the Second.
Concerning Freedoms. Section 4. Were this a story, I should tell at length how much we were helped by the good fortune of picking up a Utopian coin of gold. How at last we had ventured into the Utopian inn and found it all marvelously easy. You see us the shyest and most watchful of guests, but of the food they put before us, and the furnishings of the house, and all our entertainment, it will be better to speak later. We are in a migratory world, we know, one greatly accustomed to foreigners. Our mountain clothes are not strange enough to attract acute attention, though ill-made and shabby. No doubt, by Utopian standards, we are dealt with as we might best wish to be dealt with, that is to say, as rather untidy, inconspicuous men. We look about us and watch for hints and examples, and indeed get through with the thing. And after a queer, yet not unpleasant dinner, in which we remark no meat figures, we go out of the house for a breath of air and for quiet counsel with one another. And there it is we discover those strange constellations overhead. It comes to us then, clear and full, that our imagination has realized itself. We dismiss quite finally a Rip Van Winkle fancy we have entertained. All the unfamiliarities of our descent from the mountain pass gather together into one fullness of conviction. And we know we are in Utopia. We wander under the trees by the main road, watching the dim passers-by as though they were the phantoms of a dream. We say little to one another. We turn aside into a little pathway and come to a bridge over the turbulent Reese, hurrying down towards the Devil's Bridge in the gorge below. Far away over the Furka Ridge, a pallid glow preludes the rising of the moon. Two lovers pass us whispering, and we follow them with our eyes. This Utopia certainly preserved the fundamental freedom to love. And then a sweet-voiced bell from somewhere high up towards Oberalp chimes 2 and 20 times. I break the silence. That might mean 10 o'clock, I say. My companion leans upon the bridge and looks down into the dim river below. I become aware of the keen edge of the moon like a needle of incandescent silver creeping over the crest, and suddenly the river is alive with flashes. He speaks, and astonishes me with the hidden course his thoughts have taken. We too were boy and girl lovers like that, he says, and jerks ahead at the receding Utopians. I loved her first, and I do not think I have ever thought of loving anyone but her.